I have become very familiar with the employees of Quick Trip on Southwest 9th and Army Post. The manager's name there is John. John is a nice guy. I rarely go into that store without him teasing me or me teasing him in some way. But a few weeks back, I wanted to stop by and get a fountain Coke Zero pop at Quick Trip. So I pulled in and I had a bunch of change in the middle of my car console, and I counted out what I thought I had and went in to buy it. But I counted incorrectly. I was 10 cents short. So I went up to the counter, you know, I give him the change, and he says, well, you're missing a dime. And I said, well, I'll run to the car. You know, it's a little bit of an embarrassing thing, but not a big deal. You know, and I ran. He said, no, that's all right. That's all right. I'll tell you what. I'll come to your church and I'll take it out of your sermon one of these times. And I said, well, John, I don't think I have any 10 cent sermons. And he said, that's okay. I'll come twice. So I don't shop there anymore. You know the feeling when somebody treats you like you are not worth very much. I don't know how often it happens to you, but it actually happens to God all the time, especially in the way that people treat his name. It's amazing to me that people who know God the least seem to use his name the most. And those who know God the best often think of his name the least when they pray. But Jesus says that God should be the first name in prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Little Levi did a great job reading the Lord's Prayer this morning, didn't he? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing to learn in prayer is what to pray for first. We've learned who we are praying to, not a power, but a person. Not a force, but a Father. And we've learned where he is. In heaven, he's out of this world. So when we pray, we can actually get beyond the limitations and the realities of this physical plane we see every day. But when we go to this Father, who is out of this world, what do we bring up first? Well, here's what we're going to learn. Prayer is foremost about God's concerns, not mine. I prayed for years and I didn't know this. You see, when Jesus says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That phrase, hallowed be your name, is not a proclamation. It is actually a petition. You are not declaring something, you are asking for something. Jesus teaches that prayer should begin with requests regarding God's agenda instead of our own agenda. This is how you should pray. The first thing that you should ask for is for God's name to be hallowed. The second thing that you should ask for is for God's kingdom to come. The third thing you should ask for is for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see, typically when we pray, I skip the thy and get right to it. Right now, God, my needs are way more important than your glory. So if you don't mind, let's don't talk about you. Let's talk about me. But Jesus is saying, when you pray, you should have a greater concern that something happened for the Father than for your own. Honor you should way rise above give me. And I prayed for years and I did not understand this. I went straight to give me. I never thought that prayer might be a time where I ask God to do things for his sake. I never considered that prayer might be about me asking God to get his agenda done, for his glory to be made known, for his will to be accomplished, that all those things were way more important than anything on my list. I'm beginning to learn that even ask for God to give me things, and that's okay to ask for, by the way. I want them because I think that they're actually going to help show God off. Samuel Morse was the inventor of the telegraph. He was interviewed by a man named George Hervey. Let me read what Hervey wrote. He said, "I asked Professor Morse, when you were making your experiments at the university, did you ever come to a standstill not knowing what to do next?" And Morse said, "Oh, yes, more than once." "Well, what did you do?" Morse said, "Well, I've never actually discussed this with anyone in the public, so nobody really knows anything about it, but you've asked me, so I'll tell you frankly, I prayed. Prayed for more light. And did God give you the wisdom and knowledge you needed?" And Morse said, "That's why I never felt I deserved the honors that came to America or Europe because of the invention associated with my name. I made a valuable application of the use of electrical power, but it was all through God's help. It wasn't because I was superior to any other scientist. When the Lord wanted to bestow this gift on mankind, he had to use someone. I'm just grateful he chose to reveal it to me." Now, in view of that, it's not surprising that the very first message ever sent over the telephone were the words, "What hath God?" Even when you ask for yourself, your motives should be to show God. Like David said in Psalm 31, "Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me." Prayer should be obsessed with God. So let's get a little more specific. When we are asking God to hallow his name, what are we doing? We are asking for a certain future. We are asking for something to come that has not yet come. We're asking for two things. First, write it down. We are asking, or we are forecasting, a future where God's name is glorified. God's name is hallowed whether we ask for that or not. God's name is holy. God's name is exalted, so we're not asking God to put his name up on a higher level because his name is above every name. Now, what we're praying for a future where there is going to be a greater recognition in the world of what already is and always will be true. God, your name is above every name. I am praying for a future where more people realize it. The glory your name deserves is acknowledged by him. See, we do this understanding God cares about his reputation. He does. I'll give you an example. When he sends the children of Israel into Babylonian captivity, later he's going to bring them back from Babylonian captivity. Did you know why he did what he tells them that? Look at what he says in Ezekiel 36. If you want to follow along in your own Bible, it says this. "Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, not because you deserve it. I'm doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. I will show how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the sovereign, then the nations will know that I am the Lord." God cares about the nation. He says, "I act to protect the honor of my name." After the Civil War, General Robert E. Lee was visited by a couple of managers of the infamous Louisiana Lottery. They asked General Lee if they could use his name in their gambling. They told him that they would, if he would let them do this, that he would be able to make it. Lee stood up, but spoke. He said, "Gentlemen, I lost my home in the war. I lost my fortune in everything but my name. And my name is not for sale. And if you don't get out of my house right now, I'm going to beat you over the head with this crutch." When you see God treated like he's not worth money, it should drive you to your knees. We should pray like a child to honor his. My son Jacob has always been this way. Every so often I'll get an ugly email usually unsigned, or I'll get some contemptive post about myself. I remember one time, this is several years ago, and I was being taken to task on Facebook by an he was angry at me because I had criticized heavily the Republican Party in Iowa. See, I was angry that that moved heaven and earth past a 10-cent gas tax had never worked so hard or tireless to save unborn children. And this person was hitting me pretty hard about my criticisms. Lo and behold, I did not know this, my son Jacob gets on. He's hitting me back pretty hard, this guy, in a way that I never would have met. Because he was jealous for his father. That's how we treat our Heavenly Father. Psalm 148, verse 13. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. And so we pray, Lord, may you get what you deserve. We pray for a future where your name is glorified, but also we are forecasting a future where God's character is magnified. See, man does not name God. This is very important. In the Bible, to name something is to have authority over it. It is why God let Adam name the animals. Adam was to have dominion over the creation. It is why Joseph did not name Jesus. He was given the name by the Father in heaven. It is why God allowed Adam to name his wife Eve. That's a different sermon. Men don't name God. God reveals his names to men. God says, I'll tell you one of my names so you will know more about me. Tells us, I am El Elyon, God Most High. There is no higher than me. I am Yahweh. I am always faithful, always have been, always will be. I am El Shaddai, the Almighty. I am Yahweh Jireh, the provider. I am Yahweh Rapha, the healer. And God tells us his different names because he wants us to know him. His names are an expression of his character. A good example of this is in Exodus. Remember when Moses asked to see God, to know God. And here's what happens in Exodus 34. You can read along in your own Bible, verse 5. Says the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, Moses, and proclaimed his name. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their fathers to the third, fourth generation. So when you pray for God's name to be hallowed, you are praying that the world will see God for who he is. Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have forsaken those, have never forsaken those who seek you. Jesus felt like this was the very heart of the mission that God had given him. He came to reveal God, to make God's character known. This is what he prayed in John 17. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be. You know what Jesus has done now? His mission, he said, was to make God known. That mission was to protect the reputation of God. And now Jesus has put God's reputation, God's being made known, that mission into our hands. We've all used this expression, well, I've heard that name, but I just can't put a face to it. That's our mission. To put a face to the name of God. To help people know who God is. That's what you mean, ask for God to have his name be hallowed. Well, how do we pray for them? How do we pray to put a face on the name of God? That's what we're going to do here in just a moment. Give you three things that we can pray for that do reveal God. And we're not just going to talk about this. We're actually going to pray for these things. But here's the first. I want you to write it down. Pray for a foretaste of God's oneness through the unity of the body. Now, I mean a foretaste that one day there's going to be no one who does not know the name of God. God's name will be known, and every knee will bow, and everybody's going to know God for who he actually is. We are praying right now that people will get a manifestation for one day what is going to be completely revealed to everybody. That's what we are praying for. And one thing we want people to know about God is oneness. And we pray for it through the unity of the body. The Trinity is a unity. And the fellowship that God enjoys in himself should be imitated by his children. That's why the devil would rather split the church than open up a brand new porn shop. Because when he divides the body, he conceals what the world can know about the oneness of God. So we must join Christ in praying for unity. John 17, verse 21. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us. The world will believe you sent me. So if you want God's name to be hallowed, pray for the oneness of the church to reveal the oneness of pray 1 Thessalonians 3. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. God's name is honored when we practice unity. There's a great story. Wesley and Whitfield, great revivalists and evangelists of the 1700s, they were good in their earlier years, but then later in their ministries, they had a falling out because of a differing theological position each held. Wesley was more of an Arminian. He believed in the free moral agency of man. Whitfield was more of a Calvinist. He believed God had providentially ordained everything. Well, they didn't work together in their later result of that. And when Whitfield died, Wesley was expected to see Whitfield in heaven. Wesley said no, because he would be so near the throne of God that men like me would hardly be. He would not divide the body. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to, this is the interactive part. I ask you to get in groups of three or four. And I want you to pray group. We're going to pray for just a couple minutes. That's it, just for a couple minutes. And I'm going to ask you to appoint a person in your group to pray. And what I want you to pray for is I want you to pray for the unity of the church. Pray for the unity in the church. So one person in a group of three to four. Go ahead, take a moment now. Get in a group of three to four. And then when you hear me start singing, walk back to your spot for a little bit more preaching. Go ahead and get in a group of three to four. Pick one to a point that you will pray over this issue. Pray for the unity of the church.
Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord, that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together. Lord, bind us together. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together.
Maybe so. What I'm wanting you to see today is that praying for God's be hallowed is a lot more than just saying over and over, praise your name, praise your name, praise your name. What it means is we want who God is to be made known. And so if we want the oneness of God to be made known, we need to pray that first that be manifest in us as children. Second thing, write it down. Pray for a foretaste of God's holiness through the purity of the church. We should pray that Christians will be willing to be different for the sake of God. There was a time when the word holy was an adjective that we wanted. Then it became a bad word. Don't call me a holy Joe. Don't say that I'm holier than thou. Don't call me a holy roller. I'm sorry, but holy should be one of the words we want to be called most, because that's who God is. Our willingness to be distinct and different reveals who God is. There was a Polish king named Boleslaw, and whenever he started any great work in his kingdom, he would look at the picture of his father, and he would pray that he would never do anything unworthy of such a father's name. That's how you and I should be. We should want to be so holy that the world has to know that a God that would motivate us to live like we live must be. So we pray for holiness. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. 2 Thessalonians 1, so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way he lives, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray for holiness in go ahead, get back in your groups real quick, and we're going to pray together. Have one person pray. Just when you hear a song, we're going to come back again for just a little bit more preaching, and we'll be done.
Lord, prepare me, yes, to be pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be young living sanctuary. For you. You may be seated.
There's a lot of ways to pray for God's name to be hallowed. Looking at three today, but any time that you pray that God would be showed off to the world, you're praying for his name to be hallowed. So let me remind you again that that should be the foremost thing we pray about. Pray for things that will show God off. Pray thy before you get to my, because prayer is about God. One more way we're going to pray that we will hallow his name is that we would pray for a foretaste of God's kindness through the clarity of the gospel. The evil one binds the minds of unbelievers to the truth about who God is. So we must pray fervently that God's light will penetrate the darkness to reveal his unfailing love and grace. This is why we have missions like Inner Visions that we support, missions like Blessing Hearts Ministries in Haiti, ministries like Deaf Missions, our very own Embrace Grace Ministries. We bathe them in prayer because we understand that what they are doing primarily is spiritual warfare. If Satan is blinding the minds of the people, we must reach them by praying for God to be at work to penetrate that darkness with his light, with his love, through the gospel, so that he can be. So we pray things like 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. We pray like Paul prayed in Colossians 4:4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. I don't know if this story is true or not. I tried to research this to see if it was. I do believe it is, honestly, but the way it is told is that when Helen Keller, that amazing woman, reached a certain age, Anne Sullivan decided it was time to introduce Helen to the idea of God. So she had the famous pastor, Dr. Phillips Brooks, from Boston, come to their home and speak to Helen. And of course, Anne would translate his words by the different kind of finger impressions and pressures she would use on Helen's hand. And as he began to talk about who God is and God's existence, they say that a light came across Helen's face and she answered back, oh, I know him. I've known him for a long, long time. I just didn't know his name. And I believe all over this, God has put eternity into the hearts of men. Every man has this God-shaped vacuum. Every person has something in their soul that is looking to connect with the eternal, but they don't know his name. So we pray for those who go out into this world for the sake of the name. We pray that their word will be honored, that their message will be clear. We pray for the gospel because every single time the gospel is preached and believed, God's name is hallowed. So, I want you to get back in your roots. And we're going to pray one more time. It's the last time, I promise. Gosh, we're praying a lot at church today. I want you to pray for the gospel to go out. And when you hear the song, come on back to your seat.
Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. I love you. Jesus, I am. Lay my life before you. Lay my life before for you have won.
Everybody can be a missionary. You hallow the name of God when you share the good news of Jesus. God's name is hallowed every time Jesus is followed. And I wonder today what God is putting on your heart to do. Maybe you need to be prayed over. Maybe you need to come forward this morning and say, you know what, Jesus, this is it. I'm giving you my life today. I need to recommit. I need to rededicate. I need to restart. Whatever it is, I want you to do that this morning. We're going to sing a song, but I'm going to pray. As we pray, praise team, come forward. Let's stand up, pray together. Father, send us out wherever your name needs to be held up. We ask this in Jesus' name.